No. Isn't that funny? It says that now. So would someone like to open us in prayer?
Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Heavenly Father, just as we quieted our hearts, a couple of us were talking about just the month of May, and just, Lord, as we quiet our hearts to learn from you, Lord, just show us what you want us to learn from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just illuminate your word to touch us in a way that reveals your will for our lives, reveals more of who you are. I pray that you speak through Kay as our facilitator. I pray that technology works. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us, guide us. And I pray, Lord, from Psalms, Lord, that even though some of these verses that we're going to learn this summer are familiar, Lord, that you would show us new things and new ways of looking at your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Speaking of new ways, like for me personally, I knew that there were the Psalms of Ascent, but I never thought, I did not understand they were in a grouping and their purpose, that they were used every single year that they went to worship. And I find that so interesting. And so in this, so this is the book that we're going through. It's the Eugene Peterson, and it's little, all right? So this is the book that he wrote called The Long Obedience in the Same Direction, which interestingly enough is from a quote from Nietzsche. I mean, what in the world?
Isn't that crazy?
I was blown away by that. And you know, you hear The Long Road or whatever. And I was sort of like, I'm sure that's where that comes from. And so in this book, and you do not have to get it, but what he does every chapter, it's all the Psalms of Ascent. And so he goes through each Psalm of Ascent. And so the ones that he covers in this are only 6 Psalms of Ascent. And the first one starting with repentance. And so this is what we're going through. If you want to read this, happy day. Like, I mean, it's Eugene Peterson. It's just like, he's a delight. He is every man's man. And his message always, always is God loves you. Like, his son on his obituary, do y'all remember when he died a few years ago and his son wrote a letter, and I think it was published in the Wall Street Journal or somewhere, maybe the New York Times, where he said, you know, I knew your secret. Nobody else knew your secret, but your secret was that every single message you gave was the exact same one. God loves you. And so, which is pretty, I mean, that gives me chills, because that is clearly what we all
need to hear.
We just do. It never gets tired. It never gets old. Even though it's like telling your children, I love you. They're like, blah, 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 you know, and, but you do. And anyway, so that's about the book. Are there any questions? Rick has them.
I'm going to just say you can also get it on Audible. So I'm a big Audible fan.
Does he read it?
I don't know who reads it, but I love it. So I'm just listening to it while I, you know, run errands and do dishes. And
it could be your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you for that, Catherine.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, I know a lot of y'all don't know each other. So dare we go around the room? How much time do we have? 9:53. We should have started earlier. Haha. Sorry that we start. We will. I promise you we'll start at 9:45 directly every week. But can we just go around and say your name and just like, I don't know, maybe something that you like, maybe you're, I don't know, just some little tidbit about yourself, like what, this one's going to be bold and ask you what your sin is that you have to confess. Dare we go there? I'll start. All right. To level, I don't know. I mean, why not be honest with each other? Or you could say a praise. All right. So I'm Kay. We have 5 kids. I love scripture. This morning, I literally did. I might have said a few expletives in the car this morning as I was driving home, and the coffee from Drip spilled in the back, and it spilled on the back of the car. And I am not an expletive person, so it shocks me. Like, I'm just like, what's wrong? Something must be wrong if expletives are coming out. And I burned the entire loaf of bread this morning trying to make toast. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a full, it was a half a loaf, but I'm just saying. So 2 burnt pieces are there for the kid that might be coming in the door soon. So I apologize for that sin and was moved to sit there and go, why? What's going on that makes me do that? Do you want to go?
Sure. I'm Catherine. And let's see, this morning I just was ruminating on some fears. And I also was reading in the psalm. And I can't remember anyway, but it just was praise the Lord and to go back and praise the Lord. And so and when fear creeps up, to not focus on the fear, but to praise the Lord. And so driving over here, I was praising the Lord with the trees and the grass.
It's really good.
Trying to change my mindset. Okay.
I live in Richardson, so I drive this way.
Thanks for driving.
I love. I'm married to a Texas artist, and I have four grandbabies. That's my praise.
I love that.
Yeah. And I get to be with them almost daily.
So sweet.
Sarah.
I'm Sarah Crotty, and I'm thankful this morning to be close. That's what got me here, because I've been doing Women's Bible Study at Waterwork, is that for sale sign, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a summer study. I'm a one block away. I better do this one before she goes somewhere.
Who knows? So glad. It won't be that far. I don't know where it'll be. Somewhere.
Oh my goodness.
Here we go. Gosh, I have five children, but I've made them all go serve at VBS. So that's my praise. They actually all like had a good attitude yesterday. I was really like cringing when I set up a new thing. Oh, say it, Brayden. You know? And they actually all got up and left.
So great. So, yay, some kids.
I'm Allie Patterson. I have three kids. I teach here in the neighborhood. I teach second grade at UP. So my praise is summertime. It's all, you know, it's taken me a while to get into the slow
start breathing,
you know, but yeah.
That's good. What a perfect thing for the ascent songs.
Yeah.
Because it's the slow.
It's hard to be slow.
It is hard, but it's good.
I'm Sleepy James. I have two kids. My praise is that my younger son, Duncan, is here with us all summer before he moves to Austin to our job. He's with us studying for the CPA. It's just really sweet to just have this last little chance to baby him before he goes away and, you know, lives his own life.
Yeah. Mona, do you want to go? We'll go back and then circle up.
Sure. I'm Mona Wilson. Dropped in and out of this over the years, but I've been here the last couple of years, so happy to be here. I'll confess sin. Dry as dust and just, you know, filled with shame because I finished a couple's Bible study with my husband in the middle of April, and here I am just at the beginning of June, and I'm just so happy to be here and
so glad
be a part of this.
Thanks for coming.
Now let's say good.
No shame, this shame-free zone.
Thanks.
I'm Ellen Lee. I guess my confession would be it's been a really busy spring.
No.
So while I have lots of time with the Lord, I've let my early morning devotional time stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm mourning the loss of
that. Okay, that's all right. So we're in it. Okay, I think that's
I'm
important.
I'm Ferguson, and I'm here to rest.
Oh, good.
Seriously, this is my first week of vacation, and I teach at the Dallas Ballet Center, and I took on a full load this year, so next year I'm being a little bit wiser, taking Wednesdays off, but I love working with students one-on-one, and I teach an area where it's so easy for the Lord to come in because it's working with the body and the accountable structure of the body.
Boy, I really thought about the body in this one because it asked about cultural mismessaging or whatever the lies are. And there's so, and I can only imagine in your industry where there's mirrors everywhere too.
Well, true. So, but I mean, he made the body such a
beautiful,
incredible way. You can misuse it or you can use it with ease as it's intended.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you're here. Megan, do you want to go and we'll go back? And
Megan Hillman, I've got three girls. Let's see, my most recent sin that's just from that is like sloth. Is I feel like I'm lazy to the things that I needed to actually get done because I'm kind of into the Enneagram, so I don't want the peace. And so I'm just realizing all the areas where I'm just.
I find that hard to believe with three little kids, but I'm just saying. But I appreciate it. I hear you. I'm inspired. The great thing about confession is that we all sit there going, yes, yes. Yes. And that's the beautiful thing. So, and praise too.
Yes. Melissa McKee, I've got four kids, three boys and a girl, and so my attendance will be spotty. I love being with my kids in summer because spring is also so bananas. My confession would be my sin struggle with my husband's pride, and I want to take ground and apologizing and asking for forgiveness even when I don't understand.
Yeah, that's really good.
So.
I think that's the last verse of this. You know, I want peace, but they make war. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what's, yeah. So thanks. I can't wait to get to that question, which we will.
Hey, I'm Angie Willard, and I came in too late to hear the question.
Just who you are, and just a little appraise or like a confession, either one.
Okay, I'll give my praise because it's top of mind. Launched the baby who graduated from high school a week and a half ago. And he drove himself to orientation and just all my feelings. He's ready and I'm ready, but you know, what does this next phase look like?
Mm. Good. Lauren, do you want to go?
Lauren Greer, and I have three girls in their 20s, one is in heaven. But I think my desire is kind of the same as you feel that I'm putting. I used to have such a just great morning time with the Lord. And mm-hmm. I see how I just keep squeezing him out. I might get a little in it, but
okay.
To rest in that and then feel his presence.
Yeah.
Because why would I want to lose that?
So good. Yep.
I'm Darian Reichert, and I have four sons. The top three have all launched, living in Dallas. And my praise, my husband and I just got back from chaperoning, and we're 80 kids. It's crazy that everybody knows. It's really hard for me.
Yeah.
And God was really excited for us. And then, I do praise. confession two, I feel like David and I are both saying I'm fairly good in my quiet time, but it's a check mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So just confessing, actually just sit.
Yeah.
Just sit. Yeah. And really and then be grateful for the kids.
Yeah.
I'm Kay Miller.
Yay, Kay.
I have six kids and seven grandkids, and they all live in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So wow. It doesn't get less busy, you know, as you launch them. That's a good thing. And I feel like I can relate to everybody else's sin, as well as the one that I'm going to confess, which is I'm struggling with trust right now with one of my kids.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
So, but I relate to what everybody else said.
It's a good word. Yeah.
Kelly Maxwell, I'm so thankful to be here because I live a fairly isolated life. My husband has Alzheimer's. And so it's just a joy to be here. And my time is not one of them this season. And so I'm without a quiet time a lot of days. And I just.
So glad you're here.
I'm Margaret Herring. I have three children, seven grandchildren. And my praise is that God loves me, and my sin is I don't enjoy stillness enough. I'm a busy person. Busy. Yeah.
That's interesting. Busyness can be a coping mechanism, can't it? Yeah. Julie?
My name's Julie, and I have three kiddos, and my son, my oldest, is, he just graduated from high school last week, and he's going to the Marines this Sunday, so I've got all the feelings, excited for him, and also like, why do you want to be infantry? But he's, wanted this for a very long time, so he's going to be the few of the proud, hopefully, if he makes it through the camp. And then two other daughters in high school. But my sin is my tone. My husband corrects me on my tone, and the root of it is fear and lack of control. Mm-hmm. And so then it comes out in tone with my kids. And so that's that is a sin struggle.
Another, I mean, are we all not like, mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So true. Thank you.
I'm Alyssa with Erickson. I have three kids. And I would say just to, my sin struggle is to want to just like, it's summer, have fun, and just like be the fun mom. But my kids are now 10, 12, and 13, and I want to be intentional and feeling like we're on the clock and like, what can I pour into them? And like, so just be more disciplined about like, how can I pour in scripture? How can we take this not having all the activities, not having after school stuff? And so just being disciplined enough.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Hey girls, on Zoom, do you want to try it? I know that it's like funky how it shows up on everybody's. Oh, Maggie, you're right here. Maggie.
I'm Maggie. I can't share. I guess just in this season, learning to let the Lord is like,
so good. It's true. And he pulls that out in the psalm too, where to go. And that's hard to trust. It's hard to trust because that takes trust, which is the action point of faith, you know, and it makes it real. Do y'all want to try online? Laura, do you want to go? Or do y'all want to? Yeah, hello. Let's try.
I'll try. I'm
okay.
Are the two of us going at the same time or do I need to go?
Go ahead, Laura.
Go ahead.
Hi, Miriam. I'm Laura DeVega and I have two kids. One is my daughter's about to be a sophomore at UT and my son will be a sophomore at the high school. I think my sins are probably too numerous to count, quite frankly, but the ones that come to mind are busyness and inconsistency. I mean, I my eyes are on the Lord, but I feel like sometimes I let everything else get in the way. And that's not good at all, but that leads me to what I'm grateful for. And that is that Bible study has started up again because I have missed my Tuesday morning meetings and my getting to see Kay and Candy and everybody else. And I'm just grateful that we are back. The band is back together.
I missed it too. So Sherry, do you want to go next? Just unmute and go. Or anybody, or we
I'll
can
go.
Start. Okay, Mary.
My praise, I echo Laura. I have been counting down for Tuesdays. I've missed it so much. So I'm definitely super grateful for this. And my sin confession is comparison. I think I have been finding myself comparing my kids to other people's kids and just not staying in my own lane and you know, being content to where the Lord has them today. So I confess that this morning. To the Lord.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Alexis Wagoner. I'm in the car driving back from Austin.
And, I love it.
multitasking as usual. I feel like I'm in a kind of a time of transition. I have a son who just graduated from high school, and I have a foster daughter who just moved out last week after a long time with us. And so much of that, you know, it's wrapped up in what I felt like my purpose. And I feel like I'm just excited to be back in a Bible study and try to fill some of that time with purposeful things as I kind of navigate this new stage.
Really good. Thank you. Anybody else?
I'll go. I'm Kimberly Mead. I have four kids that are all home. And so I tried to get out the door, but it didn't happen. So I'm going to Zoom. I would say my sin struggle, well, there are many, but the most prevalent right now would be, just kind of fear and lack of trust or faith that the Lord knows what he's doing. Just getting caught up in the news and the horrible stories out of Uvalde and out of Tomball and, I can just get all wrapped around the axle with fear, and I'm really kind of in a bad spot with all of the sadness that's going on around.
Thank you for sharing that, Kimberly.
Hi, this is Jackie. Hi, this is Jackie Pinkoffs. And we have four kids, and summer's going, and my confession is this last season has just been, those are my dogs growling in the back, I'm sorry. This last season has just been one of busyness and overscheduling to the point that I know that that's not what the Lord wants from me or from our family. And I am just disobeying completely and trying to swim upstream in a culture of people that overschedule. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that. I feel like I'm being very disobedient in what God is asking me to do with our family.
Thank you for sharing that.
Hi, this is Susie Feldman. I'm on Zoom today, but I plan to come in the future. I'm a mom, a wife, I have adult children, and I love Jesus, and I love these studies that Kay does in the summer. And I'm really excited about this particular book, which, even though it's been around a long time, I've never read it.
Me too.
Oh, and my sin. I got to tell you my sin. You know what? God has really showed me in this season that my sin doesn't grieve me, which is clearly a sin of pride. And so God is just peeling off the layers of helping me understand how he sees my sin versus how I take it so very lightly.
Oh my gosh. Susie, thank you for sharing that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Because didn't you pause when it said what sin grieves you? And it was like, yeah, what is that? I know it. So thanks for saying it out loud. Anybody else?
Sherry said she can't figure out how that.
That's okay. Sherry, we love you. We're glad you're here.
She texted. Yeah. I think, okay, I don't know how to unmute myself.
I think I'll jump in. Can you hear me, Kay?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, great. I have adult children. My youngest is 21, so that's great. I just got back from the Middle East to see my oldest, which was really fun. I would say my sin struggle is clutter, and I actually bought the book before I went to the Middle East, and I cannot find it. So can't find my book. It takes me an hour to get there, and I have nothing else to do in Dallas today, so I decided to Zoom.
I'm glad. Okay, we're going to pray for clutter today. Do you know clutter also is a coping mechanism? Because when you see everything, it really is buffering you against thinking about other things. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Anybody else? All right, let's start. Thanks, you guys, so much for that. And it really will help us with one of these questions. All right, so session one, right before it, is this beautiful kind of interlude that he does, which was the introduction called Tourists and Pilgrims. And this is where he brings in the quote from Friedrich Nietzsche that says, "The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. There thereby results and has always resulted in the long run something which has made life worth living." And so I do think busyness is something that gets us off track really easily, especially in this nation, because we are so obsessed with, it's just part of the spirit of this country. It's sort of like, oh, there's a mountain, I'm going, you know? And there's so many wonderful things that have happened from that, and that tenacity and that grit and that do, and do something new and show me something greater, you know, even which state is the show me state, you know, it's sort of like, that's part of the country we live in and the culture that we are in, because not every country deals with it that way. But we do. And so, the concept of long obedience sounds excruciating and exhausting. Oh my gosh. But there's a psalm right after this that I hope that we get to read. But in these songs of ascent,
The one right after this talks about the strength through which you do these things, okay? And so no matter what, at some point, please read Psalm 122 today so that you can see where the energy comes and where the source is and who the source is, which we know. But there goes this interesting dance too. What does it look like to have God's strength be my fuel? It's this mystery, and yet it's so real because of Pentecost, which we just celebrated, because the strength lives in you. Like, that is the essence of your being. And this is the dance that we get to have on this earth when we can't see him and know and understand all of it, to be able to live in the trust place where his strength is the strength that keeps us going. And that's the whole secret. The rest of it isn't. And I think that's why Eugene Peterson is always like, he loves you. He loves you. He made you, and you're his, so that we can continually go back to that instead of resting on, I do, I do, I do. This world is no friend to grace is how he starts it. And what a powerful statement. And so is there, as far as anybody reading this little introduction, was there something outside of just, you know, slow moving that you got out of it? Because that's kind of what he's saying is go slow.
I liked on page 9, when it talks about the ascent, middle of the first paragraph, but the ascent was not only literal, it was also metaphorical. The trip to Jerusalem acted out of a life lived upward towards God, an existence that advanced from one level to another in developing maturity. It's what Paul describes as the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Really good. So maybe in our...
We're doing the little book.
I'm so sorry. That was probably, did you get the email for this week? That's why, because it was all, I'm so sorry. So we'll resend it. So no worries.
Do you want me to get another?
I think I might have a couple.
Hold on.
I'm sitting here going, I have a few. who needs one? All right, who needs one? So we have one there. Sorry, in my stack, I think I have a couple.
I feel like I saw somewhere else.
I have the big one. Okay, so yeah,
there's some under there. Okay.
Well, are there
under the green folder?
Oh no. Well, yeah, that's another.
This is something different.
Yeah, that was something else.
I feel like I saw some in the kitchen, maybe.
Yeah, in the kitchen, I have the big book.
Oh, okay.
Well, I went to
Okay, so the great thing about like our discussion is it really is just a discussion. So we'll go through these, and I'm so sorry because to the best of my ability, I tried to communicate it in the emails. And so, but I mean, there were a lot of words in those emails.
there's a lot of good stuff in the big
It's the same stuff that's in the big book as it is in the small book. The small book is really the questions that go through the psalm. And so we'll go through them together, and you're absolutely not missing anything. Okay. So, and this tourist and the pilgrims was in the introduction of the big one. It just had a lot more. It was pulled directly from it. Basically, he's talking about the ascent, that they would go through these psalms as they were making their pilgrimage. And it was an ascent. And so they're going upwards. And that's some of the stuff. It's like, I think we've missed the secret, like, because they were physically doing it, which is what we can physically do anytime that we are weighed down by this stuff. And so many psalms will say, I looked up to the Lord. I looked up to heaven. I looked up. And it's sort of like, oh, FYI, there's a little hint at the help right there. Because when you look up, you breathe, first of all, like physically, you go from this to this. And so you're naturally breathing, which always helps. They've learned so much about that in brain studies, that you have a nerve that goes from the back of your head all the way through, wraps around everything all the way into your gut. That when you breathe, it's a yoga tip, you breathe, it's a reset. It's almost like a reboot, like turning off and turning on. I was yesterday with one of the kids that something wouldn't work. And I was like, turn it off, turn it on. And it worked. And I was like, there you go. And so anytime we're in these places that, which the psalmist described it as, he said at the beginning of the psalm, I'm in distress. Okay, so when you're in distress, which physically feels like something, look up, breathe, and then take your cue from looking up, which gives you the broadest span to be able to see beyond the moment. And quite frankly, you will see things that will provide truth to you. You can go today, if it's cloudy, well, does that impact the sun at all? No, the sun is always shining. It never, never, even in the middle of the night, is not shining. We just aren't facing it at that point. And so allow nature to give you a reboot to be able to focus on the one who is the one, which as they walked, they did that. Okay. And we're walking. Yeah. Were you going to say
something? Well, I don't want to get too off topic, but on the porch, we had Andrea Kim from speech.
Oh, I love Andrea.
And she did a great job in general about what you're saying, but she did talk about the breathing. And she also talked about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't hurt that.
Oh, yeah.
Name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can smell, 1 thing you can taste. For what you're just saying.
Yep.
It pulls you back.
Yeah. It's so helpful.
Yeah.
It's available all day, every day.
That's actually a great exercise, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Tears, and it just brings you back to reality, which is, you're in your bed, you're sleeping,
yes.
The Lord is with you, He is good, but it calms your mind.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, sometimes I'll try it and I get to like 3 and my mind wanders off. I'm like, okay, back to 5, starting over again.
Yeah.
So just that. In that is the discipline of,
yeah,
we're going to come back to what, yeah, we know to be true.
Yep.
Love that.
Yeah, so beautiful. Really practical and great, mm-hmm, and available all the time.
And what, Darren, one more thing, what Darren and I were talking about yesterday when she was telling me about this is that Caroline Leaf is a neuro,
yeah,
we all know her too, so she links all this to biblical truth in that God never asks us to do something He doesn't equip us to do,
yeah,
and then He made our bodies to be able to do that,
yes,
for that purpose,
yep,
so that we could bring every thought captive to Him, so that we could lay it for Him, so that we could rest in our striving. He gives us the ability to do it.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm, fascinating, isn't it? And you kind of go, of course. And we get to know more of that now than most people have through history, because they know a lot about the neuroscience they didn't know before.
Right.
To be able to go, oh, it proves everything that scripture has said all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're created for this.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't let the other mess with you. Okay, so anything else from...
Well, I loved on page 8, there is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship and what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. And then in the next paragraph, we want shortcuts, we want instant credit, we want impatient with results, lifestyle of a tourist, and we only want the high points. Mm-hmm. And I just... Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just find myself wanting to go from high point to high point to high point, you know, and then, yeah, when there's not a high point, going, I need a high point. Like,
yeah,
I'm almost addicted to the high points and how that's bad.
It's so true. And it's like, dare we be addicted to slow?
Yes, right.
You know, and there's not a whole lot that's, when you're on your phone scrolling, that's not what's coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with being on your phone scrolling. It's just like, call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And let it be a distraction for however long and an entertainment. It just, that doesn't matter. But if it becomes so much a part of my being, and there goes the danger, and it's the danger in society always. So yes, we have this stuff now. It was the same problem for these people. Yeah. So there's nothing new under the sun.
But it talks about how we've been conditioned to the 30-second commercial.
Yes.
And that is just so Satan, because how many times in the Bible is it wait upon the Lord? Mm-hmm. And people are saying, Lord, are you listening? Hear me. And it's like, my time. It's God's time. And I just feel like it is, our culture is so against that. You know,
it is.
Say, I've been praying, yeah, and He's not listening. It's like, He is listening. He's always listening. You've got to listen. What is He trying to tell? I mean, and I'm preaching to the choir, if you believe me when I say, yeah, this, but that's a huge problem. And that us. It is. It's like we can't wait.
Well, slow is associated with being lazy.
Right.
So, you know, we don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be lazy. No. And we're always thinking, oh gosh, I heard the buzzer. I better go change that one. You know, instead of just sitting with the Lord, it's so hard to just be still.
Okay. So let's make a commitment over the next 6 weeks to do it.
To be still.
Yes. To be still and find, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Find however many minutes you come up with the amount that you want and do it every single day. Just do it for 6 weeks. That's it. And if there's a practice that you would like to instill in your life to help you here, if you wanted to take one day to fast, try it, you know, try something to sort of jumpstart slowness in your life.
Or listening prayer.
A listening prayer, which means not talking. And linger. And however is something that you like that speaks to you, do it. Like if it's reading scripture and drawing it out, because I'm sure there's artists in this room. Do what works for you. That's something enjoyable that's hitting you in your stride, so that you can slow down in that. Okay, and just try it. Pick a day. Do it every day. You really can do it. Start with 15 minutes. I'm giving you 15 minutes earlier every single morning. And just get up and do it. And you'll go, where do I start? It doesn't matter. Pick any place in scripture. And one thing, a few summers ago, we did this, and it's really a fun activity, because I get why it can be hard. I get it, because I was doing the same thing last week going, I'm not sure I've been in the Word like I like being in the Word. What's going on? And their expletives come out this morning. I wonder why. If you want, there's a couple of fun little deals that you can just do by yourself. As you go through whatever you're looking through, just for fun's sake, make a list every single time after you've read whatever you've read of what you learn about God just in that passage. Okay, that's it. You can do it. It's very simple. And just put it in a book and look back at it at the end of 6 weeks and just get to see the attributes of God that you wrote down. Okay. Or if you want to go through any part of scripture, one thing is one of my favorites is highlighting anytime God speaks, where it says, and the Lord God said, highlight it, get a new highlighter. I'm sure you have some red letter Bibles in this room where Jesus speaks and it's colored in red. Try it for God. You know, just try it, enjoy, and just pick something that makes scripture a little bit different for you to engage with it, so that you're walking. So you know what I mean? Because then it's more interesting, because I get that, like why we need it to be interesting. And I get that we live in the Bible Belt. And I get that probably a lot of you, I grew up in the Baptist church. There was a lot of like, where's your quiet? Did you do your quiet time? Where is your room or your chair that you would do? And there was a lot of shaming on quiet time where I was. And so I don't think people really do that anymore. I don't know. But I remember having a weird relationship with reading the Bible, because I felt I was sort of like, ew. And I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, because I think I'm a rebel at heart too. So when you open your Word, just open it easily with, Lord, please show me who you are. That's it. And anything you can do to pull that in that's maybe a little bit different, or try something that you haven't done before. Because fasting, really, I'm telling you, if you want to know about yourself, fast, because it's brutal. It'll really show you where you're struggling.
Okay, what does that look like for you?
I will tell you the easiest way to fast, I think, is to not eat at night and take it through dinner the next day. I think there's a reason why they did it that way. It's really hard if you wake up in the morning and don't eat until night. I don't know why. It's a killer. It really hurts. Like physically, it's very hard. It's a lot easier. It's not like an ease thing, but it makes you physically feel a little bit better if you don't eat at night till dinner the next day. That's the one thing I would recommend. And if you're curious about fasting, there's a book that Piper wrote called Hunger for God, I think is what, I mean, it's hilarious that
It's something like that. Yeah. And he talks a lot about fasting if you've never done it, if you're sort of curious about the practice, because most people that do it don't talk about it. And that's one thing. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it with your family. That's another like little tidbit. Do not talk about it. Just do it. And don't speak about not eating. It's a present. It's a gift. And if you can fast on anything you want to, I do think there's something about not eating that's pretty powerful. But it can be anything. Do you know what I mean? So that's my little tidbit. I did it for years, and then I had to back off. I got pregnant and with Jack, who's 15 now. And it taught me a lot about having to quit, because I think I had made it something. I floor myself. Like, I'm like, really? I can make it. I remember that even when the kids, when we were doing the, like, putting the chores on their plate, I made it about it being like that. And I'm sort of like, what is wrong with me? These are human beings. Who cares? Just, it's sort of like the learning aspect is what's so important. And so I think I can make an idol out of anything, out of laziness, probably. I don't know. Okay. Session one, repentance. Okay. So my grandfather, this is his little intro, right? Yes. My grandfather left Norway over a century ago in the midst of famine. His wife and 10 children remained behind until he could return and get them. He came to Pittsburgh and worked in the steel mills for 2 years until he had enough money to go back and get his family. When he returned with them, he didn't stay in Pittsburgh, although it had served his purposes well enough the first time. Instead, he traveled on to Montana, plunging into a new land, looking for a better place. In all immigrant stories, there are mixed parts of escape and adventure, the escape from an unpleasant situation and the adventure of a far better way of life, free for new things, open for growth and creativity. Every Christian can tell some variation of this immigration plot. Think about that in your own life. Like, when, what was the turning? Was it a specific turning? I think it's a lot of turnings, you know, it's a lot, constant, letting go of these things that keep you from being free and realizing, oh, I'm free from that because it is for freedom for which he has set me free. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech and that I live among the tents of Kedar. Okay, and those were two people groups that were just awful. Like, one was terrifying warriors and the other were like hoodlums that stole stuff. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. This is the text of Psalm 120, but we don't have to live there any longer. Repentance, the first word in Christian immigration, sets us on the way to traveling in light. It is a rejection that is also an acceptance. A leaving that develops into an arriving. A no to the world that is a yes to God. Then comes the next page. He says, the session goal is encouraging us to turn away from sin and toward the Lord. And then he says in this, read chapters 1-3 of A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. But you don't have to. It is purely a suggestion. And he says, even in the introduction, if you want to do that, great. This is not going over that. This is going over the scripture. And so on this reflection, I feel like we've done great reflection. Okay. So we're going to go into reading the psalm. But the reflection was, what aspects of your own life do you find distressing or unsatisfying? Y'all were amazing sharing that. And what motivates you to turn away from sin and move toward greater closeness with God? You know? And I think freedom is probably one of the biggest motivations.
Satisfaction, in one word.
Satisfaction, okay? Freedom and satisfaction. Oh, because satisfied is peace.
Peace.
Yeah, okay? Peace, the shalom peace, is wholeness, completeness, satisfaction, coming together of opposites. So, and this is where this psalm leads us, is to these words, I am for peace. Do you not love that? Okay, so Psalm 120. Would somebody like to read Psalm 120? One of the little nice things about the tiny book is that the psalm is in it. Would someone like to read that?
I will.
Okay.
I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the brush.
Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
So good. Okay, so number one, throughout this passage, what words and phrases reveal how the writer feels about his society? What are some of the words that he pulls out?
Woe, distress.
What? Distress.
Discouraged, he's sad. Yeah. Deceit. Mm-hmm. War.
War, yeah.
Too long, like weariness.
Yeah, perpetual. Yeah, it's like it's just going and going. Yeah. A desire to be saved. Yeah, he's not like, he hasn't succumbed to all this stuff. Like, it's really sorry and feels like a black pit, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But there is salvation at hand because he's calling out.
Mm-hmm. So he has hope.
He's got hope, okay? And that's one thing, you know, hope reigns eternal. Hope is alive. Hope is a person. And so hope exists. Hope is ever present. Your ever present help in times of trouble. Anything else on that one? Question two. As the psalmist begins the ascent toward God's temple in Jerusalem, what does he feel distressed about?
Lies and the deceit.
So the lying lips and the deceitful tongues. What do you think that refers to? Because here's where you go. Okay, yes, it says, because you could read the psalm and go, okay. Because it's little and it's sort of like, until you ask the question of what does that mean? So like, as you sit there and go, lying lips and deceitful tongues, what do you think it refers to? And what does it refer to in your life?
The lies of the world, the culture. And it says in here how the lies are impeccably factual. They talk about the world without telling us that God made it. They tell us about our bodies without telling us that they are temples of the Holy Spirit. So it's like they're just leaving out the most important part. So it sounds real. Everybody talks about science. But you know, they're missing the mystery that really brings it all together, which is God.
Yeah.
And you just feel so, you know, swamped. It's like you're fighting against. It's like you're just walking through, you know, quicksand sometimes.
Yeah, like a labyrinth almost, or even like a gauntlet, a daily gauntlet.
And I think it just makes you sad how many people fall. That's the.
I think we all do all day.
I'm
going to
say it's within, too.
For sure.
I have lying lips.
Yeah.
And I'm in a deceitful tongue. I will tell myself deceptions and believe them. Yeah. Happily. A lot of times.
Sometimes it's a narrative that's been a part of you since you were little bitty. Mm-hmm. That you don't even realize is a lie because you don't even know that you're listening to it.
Yeah, it's just become part of your
power. Yeah, a lot of it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, so much so.
It reminded me in a marriage about how, you know, that foundation of that in a marriage about trust, mm-hmm. that you navigate life well when you have this trust that this foundational. And so when you have lying lips and deceitful tongues, it leaves you in this place where you feel on edge constantly, mm-hmm. like, is that real? Is that not real? Is that?
That's so true.
It just leaves you out of balance, I think. And that's what kind of struck me was just, and I think maybe that's the angst of our world right now. Yeah. It's just people don't know what's true. They don't know.
Such a great way to describe it, out of balance. Yeah. And you just don't know. Yeah. It's like this ever just like, what's real? So good. I think that's why he says, I call on the Lord in my distress, because you just described distress. Mm-hmm. So good. Anybody else?
What about, you know, lying lips, deceitful tongues being a rejection of truth?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So good too.
Yeah, it just is. Anybody else?
I like that he knows the Lord is the one to go to, because mm-hmm. he opens with that and he closes with that. But then he lays, but in the interim, he lays his case
yeah.
where he is.
Yeah.
Just that only so, the Lord can bring him reality
yeah.
and protect him. So that's true for all of us.
Yeah. It
brings us back to listening, because mm-hmm. unless you give time and listen,
yeah.
you won't know your way.
It's beautiful too how you said that he does, he bears his soul, like he bears himself going here's what's happening, and there's no pretense,
right? But the Lord is seen as the firm foundation
for sure. So beautiful. It begins and ends with that. Yeah,
it reminds me of that the Max Lucado children's book, You Are Special.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just that idea of
so good. Well, he adds to this, the Psalms are full of references to the sins of the tongue, lies, scandal, slander, hypocrisy. People of God may suffer as much from what people say as from what they do. And it's all of these things, the hypocrisy of others as well as ourselves. So thanks for bringing that in, Nona. Question 3, what does the psalmist ask the Lord to do for him in his distress?
Give him peace.
Yes, to give him peace and to save him.
Answer me.
Yeah.
Save me and punish them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's like, don't make me live there anymore, because he's saying I dwell here and I dwell there. So
yeah,
dwell. Like, there's like
an analogy
yeah. for us of like, well, where are we dwelling? Yeah, don't make me dwell where all that negative influences.
Yeah.
Yes,
because what I mean, dwell is such a powerful word, because like living somewhere is one thing, but dwelling there is hook, line, and sinker. Like it's mm-hmm. you're planted and you've rooted and you're dwelling. And so yes, this begging of come and save me and move me and get me in a place that's not here.
Well, that makes me think of Psalm 1 of walk, stand, sit, and that, like, I feel more vulnerable if I have to, you know, kind of dwell or sit with the scoffers. That just feels threatening. And
that's, see, the Psalms, because you sit there and go, yes, it all pulls together, because he is in the midst of that, in the midst of it, with the chaff blowing in the wind, but where are the roots?
Yeah, and then also
planted by streams of living water. Yeah.
When you think of Psalm 23, and I sit at the table with my enemies.
Like yep. So
I'm,
good.
I'm safe even if I have to sit with people.
Exactly. Reclining.
Yeah.
Very open to being harmed. And yet the one who is the one that prepares the table is the one who he's going to, saying, I call on the Lord in my time of distress.
So it is actually a personal choice for yourself, because you might be in the tense of the dog, but you have
absolutely.
To choose to dwell.
Yes. Cool. And I'm so glad you point that out.
Place.
Right. And so because your safety is always with you. And there's the essence. Okay. You can't run from him. And these Psalms are so beautiful, because they all go, it's like this beautiful picture that just continues to reveal itself. Because even David would say, where can I go? Where can I turn? Even when I lie down, you are with me. And that's even in the middle of the night, so that when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's going and going, you can literally walk through these things to be able to get your mind in the right place, because his name is Emmanuel, because he's in you, for goodness sake. Like, you can't escape him. And it's so beautiful. And it's sort of like, and the power of it is so significant, because you don't have to. We don't ever have to succumb to it. You are dressed in righteous clothing today. You can't get the clothes off of you. They have been purchased. They're yours, and he's dressed you in it.
And it's the same clothes you will wear when you see him, because you'll see in Revelation that you are dressed in white clothes because you have been made righteous by the one who was wearing the red, whose blood cries out for you day in and day out for justice and your righteousness. Mm-hmm. Always, forever. And he is the one who sits on a throne. He sits because his work is done. And he's the one who's faithful and true, who is the mighty warrior on the horse that has defeated everyone and everything for all time, for you, for me, because you get to go in peace. You get to choose, I am for peace, because peace is shalom. His name is Jehovah Shalom, and Jesus Christ is the peace that passes all understanding. That's who he is. And that it's just like, yes, 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 yes. I want to dwell there, because that is your dwelling place. Your dwelling place is by the streams of living water that never end, because he planted you there. And whether you can see it or not, doesn't change the fact that's where your roots are.
And I love, just as you're saying all that and you're jumping all over the Bible, you know, I'm just thinking, it was true in Genesis.
Yes.
And it's true in Revelation.
Yes. And it was true when the first lie, when the first deceitful tongue uttered the words, because it was words that turned them from him to staring at themselves. It superseded every single thing in that moment. It was victorious from the minute, it was spoken into existence until the very end, when everything bows to him. Everybody, everything. We can't see that. And that's a gift to us too.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a weird gift, but it's so powerful. It must be like the greatest gift ever because of what he gave for us to be able to have it. So there's something super special about not being able to see him. There's something really special about trust. Like huge, of being able to do it based on something that you can't see, which is what faith is, being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, and to be able to walk in that.
Well, trust is also offering a path for the other one to choose to walk. Yeah. You see what?
Say it again.
Okay. If I'm trusting you, mm-hmm. you have two ways to go. You can either come down a trustful path, or you can choose to see.
For sure. Yes. In this case,
for sure.
Absolutely. And he's never leaving you, no matter which road you choose. He's never leaving you.
That's right.
He's always with you.
I was just thinking as you were talking, he's resident in us. So it's almost, it is like a pairing. He exists outside of us and inside of us. So that's gives power to our quiet time.
Yes.
Because it's a pairing.
It's a pairing.
Yes. And he will be faithful.
Yeah. Which is fun to think about, because we get to know what pairing is. I was in my brother's car. His son let us borrow his truck. We get in the car. I have my phone. And the first thing that pops up is, would you like to pair your phone? Okay. And as soon as I pair it, I'm in that car. Like, yeah. I did delete us because I was embarrassed being on my nephew's list. But it was so interesting because the pair happens and then it's one. Mm-hmm. And that's the gift he gave us. Why he said, you want me to go. Mm-hmm. You want me to go. And there's the beauty of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. So, and in the strangest way, he's over time. So I don't know how all that works either. But yes, it's really powerful. So that we can go like this psalmist and be able to say, I am for peace, and you get to live in it today. And here's the deal. While we're on this planet, we'll forever be doing the dance of like, oops, I mean, forever. And it doesn't change anything as far as where he is with us. Yeah, continually. And so it's this like, okay, that when I expletive this morning, and I was like, why did I do that? Like, why did I do that? And I apologized. I was like, I'm so sorry. And then I was thinking, I'm so tired, you know? And then going, if I'm tired, I'm resting in my own strength. So that it's always on my lips to go, oh, 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 because I had gotten, there was so much, I started resting in my own mind, my own strength,
my thoughts, which doesn't help as much, it's not as energizing as resting in him. Even though resting in him is dice, like you sit there and go, where am I going? Because it can be hard. But it's always safe. And that's when the distress takes a backseat. Because I might not know where I'm stepping next, but I know it's safe because of the one who's paved the path all around me, because it's irrelevant where I step. There's another psalm where, it was in Isaiah maybe, where he says, who is the one that speaks the good and the bad? It's in Lamentations 3. It's a great chapter, FYI. Pick a weird book to go through that you wouldn't normally go through that. But it's so interesting because he says, the Lord is the one who speaks the good and the bad. Nobody else does, which means that the outcome is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful. Like, that's so powerful. He's over the good, he's over the bad, which you know. Yeah. But dare I let go of it all? Because to me, it's the good. Because in this world, it says A plus B equals C. If you do this and you do this, then this is the outcome. And then the outcome's okay. And that's deceitful and lying lips, because that's the ways of the world. The Lord says, you're okay, period. FYI, the C is irrelevant because I've already done it all. You're okay. It switches the equation. And that's where I think the freedom comes, because you still are walking. Okay.
That's why the judgment is his too.
I think so much, Darius.
And I'm always trying to like judge, and I guess that's comparison too, but judge or fix. And
that's why it's
his as well.
Yeah, I wrote that down as one of the things that was sort of like, yeah, that one goes away too. Because that's a thing of this world. Judgment's a real big deal in this world.
But I thought number 5 was an interesting question. How are your own feelings about sin like or unlike what the psalmist expresses?
Yes.
Because I just said I'm not that harsh, but honestly, like, there's times where you see something, you're like, oh, should I say something? Or I mean, it just...
That was a bold question. So question 5, the psalmist asked the Lord to save him. Question 4, the imagery we've kind of about punishment really was the thing about the imagery with the punishment is that it was final. It was very, very like enormous to be able to take care of all of it. And so in question 5, how are your feelings about sin like or unlike what the psalmist expresses? And that one, it makes us pause.
Do you think, this is kind of random, do you think like in our culture right now we have this wokeness where everybody is kind of all the same? You be you. Like, it's taking away, they're trying to say there is no sin.
Yes.
You be what you want to be. Yes. It's okay for you to be that way, because that's what makes you feel good. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that really.
Advice has shifted.
Yes.
Because it's still a very judgmental.
Yes, because if you don't believe that, then you're judged.
It's just the locus of judgment has changed. Anyway, so it's not funny, but it's weird.
It's actually scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Well, and this started years ago too with existentialism. So, I mean, it's this whole idea that truth is relative.
Yeah.
Which goes to the essence of this psalm, because it's talking about lies and deceitful. And it's making it very clear, because it's not pulling in everything. It's pulling in lies and deceit.
Yeah.
And that, again, goes back to the garden versus truth. And that, like, if you're going to get to the bottom of this psalm, it's lies versus truth. And the truth is actually, we know what sets you free. And so how do we, alongside the neighbors in Kadesh and where, what's the other one? Kedar. That you can live in truth next to the person that you're next to, because in as much as God created you and loves you, God created the person next to you and loves that person. So how do we move into a place of peace in truth and actually love the person that's next to us? And I don't know, except he does, because there goes this like unbelievably difficult equation. And yet the one who's Lord over all, lest we don't breathe, because I think it's in that part of going, well, how do I do it? And if I do this, and if I do that, and then to be able to surrender enough to go, I don't know, but please show me how.
Yeah.
And so much of how is listening.
If I'm practicing listening in prayer, maybe I can do it with people a little better, because who in the world listens, like actually listens instead of answers while you're listening? It's a beautiful exercise, you know, to practice, because maybe that's what we do with the Lord. Instead of listening, we've already answered what my answer to my prayer is, you know? So that's a really good one, the sin one. To sit and think about it and pause and get to the place in the power of truth. Question six, how does the sin the psalmist identifies in 6 and 7 compare or contrast with the sin in 1 and 2? Because this is where he takes us. What are the two things that we're looking at?
Lying and war hungry.
So lying and warmongering.
Haters and peace.
I think that's where it really hits. The distress from the lying tongues and the haters and all that to the place of peace. Because it just seems to point out that the haters and the peace. And that messes, which is exactly what you're talking about, Kelly. It takes the balance and it really messes it up. Because where do you sit in that? You know, it's very uncomfortable. And you feel it physically. Like you physically feel the discomfort in those situations. So 7 takes us. Sometimes sins that are rooted deep in our culture are difficult to identify and may take root in us. How has this been true for you?
Zing.
What?
Zing.
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 It does.
Yeah. I said gossip and covetousness.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah. That they're familiar and, you know, you're surrounded.
So
and it's like it is just easy, more easy to do than not do.
You're so right. We're big in this community with that. We're big in this state probably with that.
What was the answer? I'm sorry.
It's brutal. Are you sure you want to know it? Gossip and covetousness.
Oh,
it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's such a part of our culture. Sometimes I don't think we even know we're doing it. Even in your own family. I mean, how often are you like, can you believe she did that again?
Right.
Or whatever.
That's in materialism, living in Dallas.
Materialism.
Then just the comparison.
Comparison.
And so we're feeling like, you know, not counting your blessings just because somebody has something that you magnify.
Yeah. Yep.
Just that belief that, you know, all things come from God.
Yep.
And
okay.
People think
yes.
they earned this. You know, this is my success, and you know, we feel entitled to it.
Yep. So, which is such a great segue to this passage, which what he leads us to, and this is what he has to say. The first step toward God is a step away from the lies of the world. So the first step is recognizing the lies. You know, just calling it out, and stepping away. And stepping toward God. It's a renunciation of the lies we have been told about ourselves and our neighbors and our universe. Repentance is not an emotion. I love that.
This is so good.
Okay. It's not a feeling sorry for your sins. It is a decision. It is deciding you have been wrong and supposing that you could manage your own life and be your own God. It's deciding that you were wrong and thinking that you had or could get the strength, education, and training to make it on your own. Okay, how does the psalmist think and act decisively about sin? What is he saying? We've said this already. What does he choose?
Peace.
I am for peace. Okay, and this is the chance to choose truth, to choose peace, even in knowing that the culture will still go to war, because he doesn't exit the war. And I loved that. I mean, it was sort of weird because you go, oh, I choose peace, and there's the fairy tale ending. But the fairy tale ending isn't like I'm safe and it's all sunshine and unicorns, you know, because it was like, I choose peace. They're still at war all around me.
Well, it's not that he's choosing peace with all these lying, warring people.
No, he's choosing peace as in the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord God Almighty is what he's choosing. And then that informs his ability. One thing that that I like that Eugene Peterson says, he says, God made and loves me. God made and loves the people next to me. God is for us, over us, and in us. And if we lean on that as being the answer, even with my own narratives,
because I hear you on that. Like, we talk a lot about that in this house, the narratives, and the, quite frankly, the sin that was done to you. We live in the wake of so many people, the people that I feel bad for, the people in my wake, but there is a lot of evil in this world. And so you have no idea what you're, you know, really. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, you have no idea the evil that has touched these people that are next to you, mm-hmm. but the people matter. Okay. And so I don't know all the answers. Clearly the answer is the one who is peace. And I love that he takes us there, even to these questions, you know, what undesirable elements in your environment do you need to move away from? Gossip, the covetedness, news. The materialism, what?
The news.
News.
Yes, yes. It's the news. And that's an easy thing to turn off. Mm-hmm. And to help each other with, you know, to do something fun. If somebody asks you a Netflix series or something, do something light that's fun and funny, you know, that makes you smile. Because when you're smiling, you actually feel better without breaking godly commitments. Because what are, like, did anybody write down some performance pressures, comparison pressures, judgment trends, you know, self-obsession, thinking of self? Oh my goodness! We can probably keep going.
I think it's interesting about the, you know, all these things that we identify and we say, oh, that's the thing. Is that, you know? Remember how Tim Keller? I guess it was in Counterfeit Gods where he spoke about pulling the sin up by its root, and then there's little ones dangling on it. You know, there's more work to be done. Is that, and you can see it all around us if we stop and go, okay, anytime I see my identity and anything other than beloved child of God, I'm wrong.
Right.
I'm off base. I am saying who God is. I'm saying who I am
according to God.
God is because of who I am, rather than who I am, who God is. Who God is and who I am because of who he is.
Yeah.
If I start off wrong with myself, then I'm always going to be wrong. And you see it in gender identity. You see it in the sexual revolution.
You do.
You see it. I mean, you see it in everything where we have traded a lie. And I think Satan learns to be a lot sneakier with me. We're going to come in the front door on me about my gender or whatever. He comes in through my heart where there's those little sins that are still holding on.
Yeah.
And he just goes. And a lot of times I agree.
Part of that is because you're groomed for it. Like you just are. And so that's what our Bible study is about next year, is our identity according to him through the names of God. Because I don't think we spend enough time on that stuff to be able to go, you are safe and this is who says so.
And I think it's super important as we speak into the lives of our children and younger people, because this is the water they swim. We haven't,
right?
We knew a time where that was not actually a thing. This wasn't a spoken thing in culture. It may have been seen, and it was. We know it was because here it is, full blown. But they're swimming and we don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So it's up to us to keep center, to then be able to share it with them, because we can't impart that which we don't.
Well, and that's a big part on your tongue. If you're really thinking about the tongue, what you speak is actually what's in your heart. And that's why the tongue is so prevalent here. Yeah, it does. And there's so many beautiful passages about that, to be able to understand why is the tongue the one that's brought out here, because of the power that comes with the spoken word. And so even in all of that, that can seem overwhelming, a huge part of it, it's your reflection of him too. And so the more time that you're engaged with him, it's not even a thought process, because it will always go to the place where you don't have to find your identity or your worth in this, because it may not be a gender identity thing for this group. I guarantee you it was performance. There's every person in this room dealt with that. And it is equally as false. And it's brutal in many cases, because it's a beautiful thing. I used to think that when the kids were little, I was like, let them go to a school where they have to walk through a mag every day, and where there's drug sniffing dogs at the door, because at least you know that that's bad, rather than go into a place where it's beautiful and some their neighbor's driving a Porsche, because that looks like the most beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And that's brutal, because they're equal. They're equal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so anything else, because it's 11 and we really do try, anything else in this? But the discussion was great.
Yes, okay.
And would someone like to close us in prayer? And thank you, Zoomers.
for being with us. I have to quit this dumb laugh I'm doing. Like, it's a horrible habit I have got to get out of it. So when you hear me go, please make me stop. Help me. Help my family. It's horrifying. Who would like to pray? Do you want to, Julie?
I'm sure.
Okay.
God, thank you so much that your word is so relevant to us. And when I just think about who was singing this psalm and what they were doing, and that we can sing it today and have it be so relevant just for our journey this week in Dallas, Texas. I just thank you that your word is alive. And I thank you for the honesty of the psalmist saying that he's in distress and that he's listening and he's hearing you answer. And I thank you for the assurance that you do hear us and you do answer us when we come to you and go to you. I also thank you for his honesty and saying, woe, because we all have things in our life where we want or need to say woe, like that we are, we feel like something's going on that is not right. And I just thank you for that example where we can just be so honest with you, going to you. And I thank you for just all the truths that have been shared today, that we are by living streams of water. We're planted there, and we can just open our eyes to that. We can look up to see you, your very presence in the moment. And I do pray that this week that we would have that time where we stop and we listen, we're still, we remember who we are, we remember who you are, and that you've got it, and you've got us, and you love us. And I thank you that you can bring us just with the song of ascent, you can just lift us up in that moment to a deeper level of trust, to a different level of peace and contentment. And then that will overflow to those around us, especially in summer when we're just more with people more, with our families more. I just pray that that will spill out of us. And that we will glorify you just this week, God. Thank you for being so real and so personal to us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Bye, you guys.
Thank you. Okay.
Love to see you.
Yes.
Bye. Thank you. See you next week. Thanks, you guys.